So just say it to me.
I love when a mindful goal.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Model Counselor Podcast. My name is Aubrey Ebony. I am your host, and I don't even know where to start. We are in May of 2023. It has been quite a bit since my last podcast episode. Now, if you listened to season 4, episode 1, Stop Manipulating Models, then you probably heard the story about the models that traveled down to Florida through their agency with the hopes of shooting for an amazing hair client. When lo and behold, they ran into Daniel Robertson. Not only does Daniel Robertson misrepresent himself in the industry, but he also misrepresents the community that is paraphilia. I got the amazing opportunity to talk with some really cool humans around the world, and I wanted them to explain to me what paraphilia is.
It's a community, in this case. It's mainly focused on, from what I can tell, it's three different things. Long hair, where people just like long hair, like it looks good, like Rapunzel kind of type deal. Some like to see acts where it's, you know, it's play, people do different styles, they shake it, you know, play with it, move it around, all that kind of thing. There's some who actively like to see the cuts, some people who like to see it completely go, or some people who, and in his case, that just like to screw around.
I think one of the things I was most curious about is what makes Daniel Robertson so successful, but at the same time, what makes him so dangerous? Because there's an entire community of people that are aware of him. However, nobody has been able to stop him. So I was able to chat with someone in the community and get their perspective.
He is very lucrative in the way he works now. In the ways of his past, he had his face shown almost in every single video. It's almost the same format that was talked about in the last episode, being the two tripod method. It was very home video style, and there wasn't a lot of information in that sense coming up in more recent videos that he's been producing. More so where in his more recent content in the early days, he didn't really show his face. He never really talked in his videos. It was using a stylist that was rented out for the day.
Got it.
Or mobile styluses. Or, you know, done by the model themselves at home if it was a remote shoot. So later on in his videos, what I noticed was he was getting a bit more sloppy. He was recording with the crew that was talked about before, being Addy, and another stylist who was a part of it and they were showing up more frequently. And the videos kind of changed where they weren't showing up anymore, and it was mainly him. And then that's changed where he's gone to grabbing barbers instead. But it's changed over a large amount of time where most people have been able to go, that's different, that's not right. Some, it looks like the rented out barbers have no idea they're just there just to do the job, right? They're just doing a job. Addy, however, and the other stylers were doing more role play eccentric videos where there's a theme. Like one of them was a prison shave. It wasn't the best. Where a model was dressed in essentially garbs, like prison scrubs, not prison scrubs, like hospital scrubs, as if they were a prisoner. And then they would go off that. And then other different role playing aspects where it was less so just, you know, just standard shoot, more towards the role-playing aspect, which is where I found the most discrepancies with, because they're almost always going into territory that was not okay.
Again, it is completely misleading when a model or woman thinks that they are walking into a modeling gig or a job or a really cool opportunity, and they're being taken advantage of and misled. I got the opportunity to speak with a couple of other models, and I wanted to highlight a model's story who tells exactly how she found Daniel Robertson, her experience, and what it was like even running into another model on set. Most important thing for me is to hear your story and your experience and how you came in the middle of all this.
Yeah, absolutely. So about a month ago, I ended up quitting my job just for reasons not really related to this. So it kind of left me searching for other ways to make money. Mm-hmm. And some people had told me, like, hey, like, you should try modeling, give it a go. And so I did, but of course the first time I ran into this guy. Mm-hmm. But so what happened was, is I found a Craigslist ad. There's also a website. And pretty much it was for a hair event. And it, like, the before and after pictures that were shown were not that drastic. I figured, like, I could use a haircut, so why not go for it? Like, I was considering buzzing my head anyway. Mm-hmm. So I decided to reach out. He contacted me under the name of Zach Briggs, which is, I later learned, is not his real name. Mm-hmm. But he contacted me under the name of Zach Briggs. The email, like, it was ZachBriggs@hairmodeling.com. Like, everything was under that hair modeling, so that was all I could see. Mm-hmm. It looked legit from, like, all I could tell, but it wasn't. But anyway, so I decided to go through with it because he had promised me $2,000, which I was like, that's great. Like, I could pay my rent with that. Yeah. I'll do it. Why not? So the day of the event comes, and, oh, I forgot to mention too. So on the phone, he had told me, which I thought was a little weird, that the girl before me is going to have a crazy haircut. He said to not freak out whenever I see her. It's just her cut. Like, mine's not going to be that drastic. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever. And then he sent me the contract. We went through the contract. I looked at it. There was a web, like, a address at the bottom of it. So I actually like copy and pasted the address and searched it up. And it took me to this Exxon modeling agency, which I actually don't think he has any correlation to at all. I think it was just a fake address. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the day of, we ended up, I drove all the way to Orlando for this event. Mm-hmm. And I think I was the second girl that day. There was another girl before me. And I remember when I got there, I went in to do my makeup before the girl was done, the model. And when I went in to do my makeup, they had pretty much convinced me that her hair at the time was her final look. And I even told her, I was like, oh my gosh, like, your hair is so cute, you look adorable. Mm-hmm. She was like, thank you. It seemed to me like she felt confident with it and she loved it. Mm-hmm. But I just sat there and, like, watched her get her pictures taken while my makeup was getting done. Mm-hmm. They ended up taking me to another room.
When you say they, can you tell me who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was Zach that he goes by, and then he also had three people on camera crew, one older man and two younger women, and then also he had a hairstylist there.
Were the younger women shaved?
They weren't, no, but one of them had pretty short hair, so it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the same thing happened to her.
Okay, so you can continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I went in to do my makeup. I ended up leaving, getting taken to another room. I brought my boyfriend along just for safety reasons, because in the contract it stated that I could bring one other person, so I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did, in hindsight. But he came with. He was just kind of chilling in the other room, and I went back and hung out with him while she was finishing up. I saw them, the photographers, take the model with her cute little haircut, and they were doing shoots outside. I could see them walking by the door. Mm-hmm. They were taking their time. And then some time passed. We were probably sitting in the room for about an hour, which I thought was an unusually long amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then Zach came in the room and he sat down with me and my boyfriend and was talking to us. And he said that he came in and he wanted to sit down and talk to us because the girl, the model next door, I guess, started having a mental breakdown. Mm. Yeah, and I was very confused. I was like, what do you mean she had a mental breakdown? Her hair was so cute. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. And he was like, yeah, I know. She didn't like it. I don't know. I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. So he just talked to us and kind of kept us distracted in this other room until she left. Mm. Yeah. So then after she left, they cleared me and brought me over. And he was showing me pictures on his camera. He was like, yeah, like this was her final look. And it was the hairstyle that I walked into. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know why she wouldn't like it. It's so cute. I was like, yeah, I have no idea. Like, it's adorable. That makes no sense because when I was just in there getting my makeup done, like, she seemed happy with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So to go from that to be completely just like having a mental breakdown just didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they brought me into the room so I could start my shoot. We had to bring multiple outfits to wear. And throughout this, so we're doing the shoot, we're taking the pictures. Everybody seems very nice and friendly and like charismatic and just honestly made the process really easy. And they made me feel really comfortable with everything. Mm-hmm. So I told him, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So I told Zach on the phone that I was considering buzzing my hair, like a number three guard. Mm-hmm. And so like, I would be okay with that. And he said that, oh, like, that's great. Like, that's cool. So you're more interested in doing like a more drastic look. That's great that you're open to that. Like, we might not actually do that, but it's good to know that you're open to it. So I kind of went into this whole thing like expecting that the worst that'll happen is I'll just have a buzz cut by the end of it. Obviously that did not happen, but so we're doing the shoot, everything's going really well, honestly. And until the end, the very end, when they told me to go ahead and change into my bikini, which I did. And when I put on the bikini, they made me sit in this chair. And I guess that's when the hairstylist came over and they had told her to go ahead and start doing the cuts. So one thing I noticed is Zach did not want his... He didn't want his voice to come up on the camera. He didn't want to be seen on the camera. He didn't want anything like that. So he kind of had a mic, and he stood all the way in the back of the room and would kind of tell them what to do and just kind of guided everything.
How did that make you feel?
It was a little strange, but I've never, like...
done this before.
I never did it before, so I just kind of assumed that it was the professional thing to do, and he just didn't want his voice to be heard on the camera because it would mess up the footage, or I don't know. I didn't really think much of it at the time, honestly, because he just kind of made it seem like he was the content manager. And he was just everybody else's, like everybody was employed by him pretty much. And so I also told, like, asked him too. I said, so how do you guys determine, like, what kind of haircut the models get? And he said, oh, we don't get to determine that. It's up to whatever the client wants and whatever the client needs. And I was like, okay, well, what kind of clients do you guys have?
I thought you were the client.
Yeah, exactly. So he was like, oh, well, the clients are, you know, like, hair magazines, like all different kinds of hair stuff. Like, it can be for literally anything that you can think of. We have all different kinds of clients. And he was just creating the content for them all at once to, just to do it all at once and get it over with, I guess. And so I was like, okay, so that's fine. Like, I guess we'll see what comes out of it. So I sat down in the chair, we did it, and they did probably about 7 haircuts before the final look. They let me see each of them before, except for the last one, which mm-hmm. I thought was going to be a buzz cut. So then they completely just skipped over that.
Yeah.
I sat down in a chair, they shaved my head, and I remembered, feeling something on my head, but I didn't know what it was because I had never felt it before. Mm-hmm. And when I turned my head and looked over to the left, I saw that the hairstylist had a razor. Mm-hmm. Mm. And she actually went and shaved my head. And I was kind of just baffled that was even happening. I was very confused, mm-hmm. too. And I remember Zach asking me, on camera, because everything was recorded. Literally, everything was on footage. Mm-hmm. But, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Well, when you started to feel the razor across mm-hmm. your head, what made you remain in that moment? What stopped you from saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for?
And this is the,
difficult part. It's okay.
Shitty part, because in the contract, it did say in a very, 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 very small portion that,
you may have to shave your head.
Yeah, there is a possibility that, you might end up with no hair. But the fact of the matter is that they made it seem like that wasn't going to happen, or right. that was very unlikely to happen.
But it was the main goal of this, it sounds like.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And so they were doing that, and I didn't want to back out either, because the other thing about the contract is if you read it, which I don't even think is a valid contract, because obviously I found out it wasn't even under his name. The company was, it can't be legal, but... Yeah. In the contract, it's stated that if you back out for whatever reason, then you owe him $7,000.
I think that's similar to what happened in the podcast. That's mm-hmm. insane that he would even throw that loophole in there.
Yep. Which I'm now in hindsight, I'm kind of, I could have backed out, because I don't even think the contract is legit.
Legal. It's not legally binding.
Yeah, but right. in hindsight, obviously, I know that, but in that moment...
You didn't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I was very upset, but I didn't let it show at any point in time. Mm-hmm. I kind of, just froze and, I just closed my eyes and let it happen, because I had already quit my job. I need the money. I was just oh my God, I cannot believe that this is happening. I felt completely fooled in that moment, a complete idiot. They had just tricked me. And so anyway, as my eyes were closed and they were shaving my head, the very next thing that happened is while my eyes were closed, she quickly took the razor over my eyebrow and took off my eyebrow. Yeah. And I know there's footage of it, but I'm sure in that moment they could see, my face just drop, because I had no idea. I thought the worst that would happen is I would just leave bald, but they took off my eyebrows as well at that point. There was obviously no turning back.
Right.
But it was just a shock to me, because, that wasn't mentioned, obviously.
Yeah.
I thought I was just going to get a haircut, and that was it. But, so afterwards, they made me, talk about how the experience was. They made me sit in the chair, and, he had to hand me money, and, the $2,000 that I was promised, and it had to be recorded just as proof that he actually, gave it to me, which I thought was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I remember at one point when they were shaving my head, there was I was in a bikini at this point,
mm-hmm.
and I was completely covered in hair, and the whole thing was just very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and I was like, are you serious? So at one point I tried to wipe the hair off my shoulder, and they freaked out on me. They were like, no, don't do that, we need to get a shot of it. And I was like, this is obviously weird. So I was like, okay, that's fine, I guess. But and then, so after that, I'm basically, like, I'm completely bald at this point. And the most degrading part was the whole time, like, they were basically making me smile. Like, I don't know. Well, he was saying that emotions were allowed, but they kept telling me to smile behind the camera. Like, smile. Like, it's okay. Pretend like you're happy and you're enjoying this. Mm. Obviously, like, I really wasn't. And yeah. I was just kind of, like, in a state of shock and just kind of dissociated from the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they made me get a baggie, which at this point, this is the thing that made me realize that, like, this isn't normal. Like, obviously, this isn't normal already, but this is definitely, like, a fetish thing, because they made me pick up my, like, record me picking up my hair off of the floor and putting it into a bag, and then I had to, like, pose with it. Which I was like, okay, this is fucking weird. Yeah. I thought that they were just gonna throw the hair away,
right?
But after seeing them pick up the bag and putting it on the table and, like, saving it for later, I was like, this is all too weird. So I think after that, honestly, I just tried to get out of there as fast as possible. It was also very strange because Zach/Daniel/Josh, whatever he wants to go by, he kept trying to get me and my boyfriend to stay after with him and, like, stay in a hotel and get drinks with them, and kept trying to push it and, like, offer to buy us food and offer to get us a round of drinks and was offering to pay for everything. And I was like, no, like, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with my boyfriend, like, he's not gonna want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also kept trying to persuade me to come back and do more shoots. At this point, I'm bald. Like, I just want to go home.
Right. I'm uncomfortable. You've shaved my eyebrows unexpectedly. Yes. Let me go.
But he kept trying to get me to come back. And he was like, oh, like, we do scary movies, too. If you're interested in acting, we can do a shoot. And he was like, what are you comfortable with? And I was like, well, I'm not comfortable, like, doing anything nude. Like, I don't want to do anything nude. And he was like, okay, why? And I had told him, I said it crosses my boundaries. Like, I'm just not comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. That in of itself should be enough of a reason, 100%, right?
100%.
But the thing that really got me the wrong way is he was like, okay, I respect that and I understand, but why? Like, it's not, that wasn't a good enough reason. And he kind of gave me this really weird,
uncomfortable,
creepy look.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was like, you know what? I packed up all of my things. I was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Like, my boyfriend's waiting on me. Like, I have to go. This is just really freaking weird. So anyway, I left. And that's when I then, like, posted about my experience on Reddit, and I had so many people message me on there, and it kind of blew me away, because that's when I, like, I had other women message me and say that the same thing happened to them, multiple women telling me that they went through the same exact thing, which is just crazy to me. And I later found out from other people sending me links and stuff too that this guy has been first of all, his real name is Daniel.
Daniel Robertson.
Daniel Robertson, also goes by Jay, also goes by Josh, also goes by DM. Also, I guess his new name is Zach. I don't know, but Daniel is his name. And I guess he's been doing this for like 10 years now and just getting away with it, because I guess cops and police, like, they don't really see the big deal because it's just hair.
Yeah.
But it's not cool. And I was talking to people in, like, the hair fetish community and things like that. Like, I didn't even realize that this community was this big.
As big as
honest.
It is, yeah.
It's huge. And the people I was talking to, like, they were very nice and respectful, and I appreciate them for coming up to me and, like, informing me about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel is known to be, like, a villain in this community, because he doesn't get, none of these women know that their hair is being sold. They have no idea that this footage is being posted on
adult websites.
Yes, yeah. Multiple hair fetish sites, yeah. Subscription-based sites. Mm-hmm. He's just making so much money off of, like, exploiting women, and there's no consent there at all. Yeah. Like, it's so frustrating because it's like women would be, I feel like a lot of people, like, I would be open to doing it if I knew what it was for.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. what the outcome was going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's like he almost wants that shock factor.
Yeah, that's yeah. the part. It's like a power, a control, the manipulation.
It's power. It's all power.
Yeah.
But it's just such a crazy, and I'm so thankful that like I figured all of this out rather quickly because I talked to some women that this had happened to, and it happened to them like a year ago, 2 years ago, months ago. I found all of this out literally the week after it happened. It was a very traumatic week, and like it honestly, like I was kind of in denial, like it's so much information, yeah. like information overload, it almost yeah. doesn't even seem real.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Okay.
Gracious.
No, it's a lot, and I want to just give you a piece of, well, one, thank you for telling me your story.
Absolutely.
Very, very grateful for that. Two, oddly enough, I want to say maybe 2015, 2016, my agency in Tampa, Florida tried to book me for the same job. And so when I got word of this last year, it kind of cycled back. And here we are almost a year later, and it's cycling back. And so there's clearly a reason that this story is cycling back in my world. And so I aspire to bring light to it. So I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is not to be traumatic or triggering. If you feel triggered or uncomfortable, please let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when they shaved your eyebrows and went for your eyebrows, because your eyes were closed at this point, what were you thinking?
So I'm not going to lie. Like, I was really, I can't even, like, I just couldn't believe it. I felt a lot of anger, but mm-hmm. I feel like I couldn't really like think straight because I was just like in complete denial, like that actually just yeah. happened. Mm-hmm. I kind of froze almost.
Yeah, almost like a fight or flight.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get out of there alive, and like after going through all of that, like I just wanted to get my money and leave, yeah, like and yeah, just be yeah. done with it. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
So absolutely crazy. What did your boyfriend say when he first saw you? Because he was there with you for moral support.
Yeah, so he was surprised, honestly, but I think he was confused. He didn't really think anything of it. He was like, well, I mean, I guess, like, they could have done whatever. He was just confused. And then I, like, found everything out and kind of told him, and he was like, oh, okay, like, that makes sense. But he... I don't know. He doesn't really, like, see the big deal in it, yeah. I guess, which mm-hmm. is a little upsetting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. again, like, not everybody is going to understand because it is such an odd
experience.
Situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. It's odd. It's new. It's unfamiliar. It's mm-hmm. it's uninformed. So you're kind of in the dark about a lot of stuff. There is a lack of mm-hmm. honesty. Because I imagine the young woman that you saw... Well, not that you saw earlier, who had the regular haircut, for her to have mm-hmm. a mental health breakdown, it kind of puts into perspective what may have really happened.
Yes. And so speaking of that woman that was before me, so somebody reached out to me on Reddit and said to contact the studio owner of like where we did the shoot, because I guess he was filing a police report.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up hitting him up, and I was like, hey, like, if you want to file a police report, like, I have more information.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking, and he ended up sending me over because he was like, oh, yeah, let me tell you, like, why I'm filing a police report. Mm-hmm. And basically, I guess Daniel had left behind a book, and it was basically a book of... like his whole plan with every single woman, everything was written down. There were photos. Yes. So he scanned the book and sent me a PDF version of it. And there were 30 women in that book from last weekend. I saw myself in there as well.
No.
And every single woman ended up bald.
This is well thought out for him. It's not even like spontaneous. This is well planned and well thought out.
This is planned. He does this a lot. Like he's, he goes around and does these hair events and just tricks women, and they always end up bald every time. It's insane. It's completely thought out.
What would you like to see happen to this character?
Honestly, so I think you're doing a great job, like, bringing awareness to it, and I think that's, like, the biggest thing, because if I would have known that, like, if this was even a thing, I would have never fallen for it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it just seemed too absurd to even give it thought, but just bringing awareness to it, and for him specifically, like, this is completely illegal. Like, all of his hair fetish sites, they need to come down, because none of the women in any of those videos
it's consensual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he needs to go to jail, honestly, because this is ridiculous. And he just seems like a complete psychopath, and he is.
Yeah.
He gets pleasure
from coercing girls into shaving their head and putting them uncomfortable positions, mm-hmm. and recording it as a CNC kink on top of this paraphilia fetish, and mm-hmm. posting it on websites that are for adult content and not a modeling website or job or client.
Yep. It's just nothing, like, lies, all the way up into lies and manipulation. The whole thing is just, even the contract is fake. Like, everything is fake, but it all is so well thought out that he really, really, really makes you believe him.
Yeah. You know, when I think about Daniel Robertson or Josh or Jay or Zach or Voldemort or whatever name he goes by today, I think the word exploit comes to mind. And if we're looking at the definition of exploit, it means to selfishly take advantage of someone in order to profit from them or otherwise benefit oneself. It sounds like the benefit for you, Daniel Robertson, is the shock, the manipulation, the vulnerability that you're taking advantage of for these women. And that in itself is disgusting. I think about this from the paraphilia community, and I'm not sure if that's the best way to address any fetish or, sexual preference community. But I think if anything, I want it to be known that if anybody is to come across a video that Daniel Robertson has something to do with, it is not an appropriate representation of the paraphilia community that is associated with hair. Those videos involve the exploitation and taking advantage of women, and that is not a proper representation of the type of content that they seek out. From the model's perspective, you have to keep an eye out for warning signs. I think as women navigate the modeling world and they try to find jobs, we want to stay away from Craigslist. And if we don't stay away from Craigslist, if we choose to sort through Craigslist and we find an opportunity, let's set some boundaries. I often wonder in those moments, if I'm sitting in a chair where I have what I consider to be my final haircut, a model walks in and is getting her makeup done, and I'm currently content with my haircut. The model leaves, and then my experience drastically changes. I often wonder what I would have done in that moment, because it's difficult. And to say that one would get up and run or fight or, do whatever it is that we may perceive, ourselves to be able to do in that moment, I have to give a round of applause to the women that did navigate that very uncomfortable and manipulative experience that is very traumatic, because you were manipulated and taken advantage of, and that is not okay. So I do applaud you for navigating that as comfortably and as safely as you could have. I always tell any model that I work with, if you're going to do any job, make sure that you have a safety plan or someone that knows where you're going and where you are, who you're working with, and all of those details, so that, someone else is accountable for your safety. But to keep an eye out for warning signs, ladies and gentlemen, who are navigating Craigslist or other websites to find gigs, when you're looking for a client, their website should be very apparent. The information to contact them should be very clear. There should be no lack in communication or validation or legitimacy of their business and how things are ran. Now, when it comes to moments like being on set and being in a new experience, fill out the energy. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And sometimes it seems like we may not be able to ask questions in moments like this, where people like Daniel Robertson are isolating the women from one another so that they can't communicate. That's not okay. That's manipulative. That is predatorial behavior. That's disgusting. But in moments like that, it makes it a little more difficult. But if you are ever able to communicate with the model and just say, hey, I'd love to have a few seconds, like, how's everything? How are you feeling? And just make it more about you being excited than you prying. But you can tell if something's off. And if something's off, then you need to take a step back, go to the restroom, and assess what you need to do moving forward. Okay, ladies? Always have somebody that you can contact for a safety plan. What does a safety plan look like? Well, if it were me and I were in an uncomfortable situation, I would send either a quick text if I had time. If I did not have the time, I would have an emoji set up between my sister or a peer or someone that I wanted to know that, hey, in case of an emergency, I'm going to send you this emoji. And then that person would then call me and stay on the phone until I got out of my uncomfortable situation. I think that is a very easy safety plan to have. So keep that in mind as you're navigating some of these uncomfortable situations. It's okay to go ahead and take a step, go to the bathroom, send your message, stay on the phone, and get out of there if you need to. To the young lady who shared her story with me, thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciate you being honest, open, and vulnerable. The next episode will center around a conversation I had with two more people who had thoughts on Daniel Robertson. So if you're down to hear some more Daniel Robertson details, check it out on the next podcast episode. I'm your host, Aubrey Ebony. It's not easy. This is the Model Counselor Podcast. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. And until next time.